course, as soon as we start recording, I feel the need to sneeze. Okay, crisis averted, I think. I thought once, it was a mistake. Nothing good ever comes from thinking. I've learned that. What in the fuck is going on here? Oh, I know the fuck's going on here. Just computer challenged, it's okay. I'll blame it on my ADHD and the patriarchy. Oh wait, I am the patriarchy. Shit! You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Fierce cock is something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Oh, go fuck yourself. Greetings, my friends and my enemies. It is I, the Great One himself, Founder. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroys the fucking statist all around the world. And God, there are a lot of you fucking statists out there. Oh, just the ongoing whining. The whining. Oh, I'm so happy. I am so happy Donald Trump won the election. The ongoing whining from you fucking libtards, and just all the subtle dig, the way your lives have been consumed by Donald Trump, how every moment of your life is you walking around just consumed with hatred for Donald Trump. And it brings me joy because I love to see you unhappy. I do. I look at the fucking you statist out there, and your misery is just the most wonderful thing. That knowing that you are unhappy just puts a giant smile on my face. I watched some of Aaron Clary's asshole consulting videos lately while I was doing some photo editing. And he did this great video. It'll show up in Linkage in the future. I got a shit ton of Clary videos for Linkage. I think I'm going to do another featured Linkage. It's going to be Age of Shitlords and blog post and Aaron Clary videos. Because the two of those, they kind of mesh really well together, the two of them. And he did this one, and it was about... Somebody wanted an explanation of why the kids at this one college, it was the college where they declared there was a day where no white people were allowed on campus or something. I vaguely heard about this. And Clary was talking about it, and what was my point? What was my point? I've already lost my fucking point. We've just started. We're 4 minutes into the podcast. I already have no idea what the fuck I was talking about. Shit. Where was I going with this? He made a lot of points, but he made... Oh! Wait, no, that wasn't it. What was his... Oh! Wait, was it a different video? Maybe it was a different video. Fuck! It all blends together. Okay, in a video, he was talking about how you don't try to talk people out of getting worthless degrees. Like, so when he was giving this example, he said, well, somebody says to him, well, I'm going to get my degree in, you know, whatever, international communications, fucking feminist studies, underwater basket weaving, you know, barista-ing, whatever the fuck it is. Aaron says, yeah, I tell him, oh, that's a really competitive field. You should get your PhD in that, you know, and like encourage them to dig the hole even deeper so that they will suffer even more. And I'm listening to that. I'm going, oh my God, that's kind of a brilliant tactic. I like that. I'm going to start doing this myself. This is the game I love to play when I go to restaurants, because my servers at restaurants are inevitably college kids or college graduates. And I always ask them, so you going to CSU? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. What are you majoring in? Early childhood education. And and, you know, if I'm there with one of my friends that I can talk to these things about, like, for example, the lovely and adorable Randy, who's on the other side of the glass and seen but not heard the way women should be, or my friend whom I talk about often, who also works in theater but can't let anybody know she's a reluctant Republican because she would get fired. You know, after the waitress walks away, I'll look at the person I'm with and I'm just like, well, there's another welfare recipient in the making. And that's also the game that we play. When Randy and I, or the other girl, when we go out, it's like, so the waitress comes up, right, if we're talking, or waiter occasionally. So then the wait person will go away, and then we'll do the thing, okay, what do you think this person is majoring in? And we'll throw down what we think the person's majoring in. And then when she comes back, it's like, hey, so what are you majoring in? And it's like, ah, all you have to do is guess liberal arts. It's not that hard. Though there is that one waitress, that one girl. There's that one girl who works at this one restaurant where I go occasionally. I've seen her a few times, and she's always very nice and friendly, and she knows me at this point. And she's an engineering major. I'm still shocked, because when I asked her, what are you majoring in? She goes, engineering. I'm like, really? And I'm like, what kind of engineering? Structural engineering. Was it structural? I talked about it in a podcast. Whatever I said in the podcast is right. If what I'm saying now contradicts it, I'm wrong, because my brain is not working. I think it was structural engineering. So I'm just like, oh, nice. A fucking engineer. They're good. Good for you. None of that has anything to do with ADHD. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to be getting back to the book. ADHD Nation, Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic by Alan Schwartz. The Medicated Generation. This reminded me, I haven't actually used the phrase Medicated Generation lately, although it will be in the lexicon if I ever get the lexicon on the fucking website. That's sort of on my agenda to work on in the near future because I got a lot of shit going on. Suddenly it's getting busy again and it got, oh my God, and it's summer too. I went, so this morning, so fuck ADHD. Let's talk about important shit. This morning, got up, went trail running. Oh, it was gorgeous out there. It's so beautiful. Saw one hot chick and went up the fucking trail and up the little side by the reservoir there and got my little rock that I sit on sometimes and meditate. So I got up there and I was kind of getting my ass kicked because it's the first time I'd gone up. This is the steep technical path. It's the first time I've done this in over a week because I've been too busy to get out there. So I'd only been running on the flat grounds. Got up the top of the hill and didn't die. Sat on the rock, meditated for a little bit in the sun. Ah, it was nice. Came back down, biked back to the crib, grabbed my gym bags. I said, all right, let me just go get the weightlifting out of the way. So I went to the gym, went up there. Nobody was resting on the squat rack. There were some guys using it. It was a trainer and the two chicks he was training. But they were actually using the squat rack. I really wanted to like film it. And then, you know, like put it on YouTube or something and say, this is how you use a squat rack. Notice no one is leaning on it resting. Like the trainer would lift, and then the one girl would lift, and then the other girl would lift, and then the trainer. And so they were using the squat rack the entire time. No one was just leaning against the squat rack, looking at their fucking cell phone, resting. Ah, oh, it was so refreshing. So I did my little bench presses and I did some curls and they were finished. And I went over, I did my fucking squats. And there was this chick at the gym and she looked moderately hot. But she was, you could tell she was there for appearances because she had all the clothes and she had done her makeup. And I'm just like, honey. And then she's over there, she's doing the little, she's doing little leg pushy thingies, right? So she's pushing the weights with her legs. She's got like 40 pounds on there. I'm like, honey, I'm a pussy and I can push like 200 pounds with my legs. So just fucking go away. Get out of my way. She was bangable, but anyhow. Does that have anything to do with ADHD? No, it doesn't. That was my morning. And I came back to the house, And did the breakfast, did the coffee, and now here we are, busting out some podcast episodes. Gonna try to get two of them done, get me through the rest of the week, because I got other shits to do. And yes, we are drinking. Well, I don't know what the hell what do you drink? I am drinking Black Rifle coffee. It is delicious. Go get some. Tell them I sent you. All right, is there anything else important that I need to say before I talk about medicated generation and ADHD? Because I'm digressing. Yeah? Yes, thank you. Today is the 19th of June in the year of our Lord, the Trumpenfuhrer, 2017. Oh, I finished up. Digressing again. So this morning on the trail, I finished up. I'm listening to another college lecture. I was listening to a lecture by a college professor about Platoism and stuff like that, and it was pretty good. And I am actually going to do an episode where I am going to play an entire lecture from that series and then comment upon it, because it's really good. And it's one of those things where I would like you people to fucking read and study philosophy, okay? I do not want you to major in philosophy, because that's how you become a barista. Because there's no jobs in philosophy, but you need to read philosophy and study. And if you don't like reading, well, then these audio books or these audio lectures, I think it's called the American Scholar Series, there's some great shit, man, and you can listen to them. So then I listened to another lecture series about rhetoric, about political, specifically presidents of the United States, analyzing their rhetoric. And of course, there was an extensive amount of analysis about what a wonderful person Abraham Lincoln was, while of course making excuses for, well, and it's beautiful. This one was painful to listen to. And I'm gonna play a little bit of this and analyze it also. So I'll tell you the actual title of it and the professor and all this other stuff, so you can find it if you want to find it whenever I do that. Because I'm gonna do a lot of things. I have all these fucking plans. As longtime listeners are sitting around going, you know, remember when you said you were gonna do all these other things you haven't done yet? No, you have a good point. Now that summer is here, it's going to be even harder to podcast, because I just want to fucking be outside. Although I am making plans. I'm going to do more podcasting on the trail. That's one of my goals for this summer, is to take the recorder out, do more hiking and podcasting on the trails. Anyway, there's nothing to do with whatever I was talking about. All right, the rhetoric lecture. Oh my God, it was painful listening to this professor make excuses for these politicians lying. And that's essentially what it was. Right. He talks about how Abraham Lincoln said that he was willing to do this, but he really wasn't willing to do it. He was just saying it. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, yes, that's called lying. Why are you praising and then the whole thing, it's just, and then he's talking to, oh, and there's a whole lecture devoted to Obama, because Obama is just such a fucking god, right? And Obama said this, and Obama said that, and Obama talks about world history as it relates to him. I'm not making this up. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you talking about? Obama's never, until Obama became president, he never did anything. This is a guy who got a Nobel Peace Prize for being unemployed, otherwise known as a community organizer. So anyhow, it was painful to listen to. At the same time, it's incredibly educational, because it's just you listening to this guy talk about how all these presidents are so fucking wonderful because they lied their asses off and said all these nebulous statements that mean nothing. And I heard some great shit from FDR, which inspired me to find a couple of FDR speeches and print them out so that I can talk about them, because FDR is talking about this and that and something else, and I'm just listening to this horse shit, and I'm going, Jesus fucking Christ. No wonder people in this country are so goddamn stupid and ignorant. If they fucking fall for that, they will fall for fucking anything. So anyhow, that's coming. That's what she said. But none of that has anything to do with ADHD or the medicated generation. Okay, medicated generation. I want to just tell you briefly about medicated generation, where this phrase come from, because I use this quite a bit. Although, interestingly enough, I hadn't used it, as far as I recall, in the context of talking about this book, which I should be, because we're talking about the medicated generation. Or, in fact, we could possibly call them the overly medicated generation, or maybe even the improperly medicated generation. Medicated generation, this phrase was actually invented by a guy who worked for me when I worked at Colorado State University. And this guy was a disaster, and this will allow me to hinge off for a moment. It's called tangenting, and talk about the HR department. And when you say, great one, you know, you just hate HR because whatever, you read something. No, my hatred for HR people comes from dealing with HR people. So this, let me tell you two HR stories that relate to this guy whom I will call Andy, who invented the phrase medicated generation. And I'll tell you about the medicated generation story. So Andy was older than I am, and Andy was this troublemaking, whiny little bitchy piece of shit. And Andy came to us at one point as we were getting ready for the Christmas party. Andy came to us and he said, I'm going to come to the Christmas party and I'm going to bring a gun and I'm going to shoot everybody. And I said, okay, well, that sounds cool. And so I went to the HR department and I went to the bitch who was in charge of the employee relations division. And I said, hey, HR cunt. So Andy said he's going to come, not that kind of come, to the Christmas party with a gun and he's going to kill everybody. And the HR cunt said unto me, well, he's allowed to say that because that's his freedom of speech. Now contrast that with today, if you on a college campus and you pointed your finger like a little gun and went pow, pow, you would probably get arrested. I mean, this was 8 years ago-ish, somewhere in that range, 8 years ago, give or take a year. Oh, what a difference 8 years make. Then the other great HR, if you go back to the older cast, I don't remember exactly when this was. Oh, God, did I tell so many stories about CSU? Thankfully, I've forgotten most of it because there's no point in remembering it, but I had a couple of people tell me I should write a book about all the stuff, just the corruption and the bullshit. One of my other favorite CSU HR moments. So the person who is in charge of my department overall, they're hiring other people, and she hires this guy, and I come to find out that they were friends previously. The guy, you know, it's like, so you hired your friend. And essentially, she says, yeah, you know, we hired him because he's a friend of mine. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. So I went to the HR cunt who's in charge of employee relations, and I was just talking. I'm like, so I just have some questions here. Like, you know, we have this system, and it's supposed to be state employees, and you're supposed to be qualified. Now, I understand, no, we're really not. No, hell, are you qualified to lean on a shovel? Why, yes, I am. Well, you have a job building roads, because without the government, who would build the roads? I understand there really isn't qualifications for most government jobs, but you have to pretend there are, right? Because without the government, who would build roads? Without the government, who would protect us from the pharmaceutical corporations over medicating our children, right? We have to have the government. Otherwise, the pharmaceutical corporations would give all sorts of drugs to kids who don't fucking need it and fuck those kids up. God, I'm just so happy the government's here to protect us from that. Anyhow, so I went to the HR cunt and I said, can you just hire your friends, or aren't there some kind of standards? Shouldn't there be some kind of process, procedure for hiring employees in this category? And there's multiple categories of employees. I'm not going to bore you with the fucking details. But essentially, I said, is it cool to hire your friends because they are your friends? And the HR bitch says unto me, well, of course it is. The two people who work for me, they were both friends of mine, and I hired both of them because they were my friends. And so when the HR department bitch admits to you that the hiring process is hiring my friends, that tells you what you need to know about the HR department. Oh yeah, it's my HR stories. Moving back to ADHD. So Andy and I were sitting there one day, and we're talking about how people under the age of 30 are just fucking worthless. And Andy referred to them as the medicated generation, and ever since then it's always stuck. I've always used that. And we started thinking about, like, how many of them really are medicated? And so we made a list of everybody we worked with in that department who was under the age of 30. And then we went through the list and we indicated which ones were on some type of medication for their personality, be it uppers or downers or Adderall or Zingerol or fucking Phobia-all or what the fuck ever. Because it's not like anybody makes a secret out of being on medication for their personality. They're proud of it, right? And of the people we worked with who are under 30, I forget the exact number, but it was right there around 50%. 50% of the people we worked with were on medication for their personalities of one type or another, because they were depressed, or they were ADHD, or they had anxiety, or what the fuck ever. You know, can you just imagine 200 years ago, people walking around going, oh my God, I'm anxious, I need medication. People walking around going, I know I have a penis, but I think I'm a girl, and I'm really confused about what bathroom to use. I need the government to pass a law telling me which bathroom to go in. And people walking around going, I don't want to be called he or she, I want to be called Z. And people walking around going, oh my God, I can't believe Thomas Jefferson was elected president. Somebody better fix this. Fuck. The downward spiral of Western civilization, which is entirely attributable to the decay of the individual, which is entirely attributed to the government keeping the stupid people alive because only the stupid inferior people need the government. Oh, it's simply fucking painful to even think about.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? You don't make waves, so why should they? Studies show that 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. ODD is a real problem in our society, according to the DSM, the big book that lets psychiatrists know who's mentally ill and who's not. ODD is also known as libertitis, or inflammation of the liberty. It's been a serious problem for almost 50 years. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. In severe cases, kids may be suspended from school and end up in jail for violating those all-important nanny laws. In extreme cases, they might even quote Ron Paul. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Compliacin reduces non-essential brain activity by 70%. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. This drug can even keep your kids off drugs. Unlike outdated methods such as punishment or uniforms, Compliacin works on the inside, taking choice completely out of the equation. Compliacin combines Thorazine, Ritalin, and 15 secret herbs and spices. It has all the effectiveness of a chemical straitjacket with none of the drooling. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin, you'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name. Compliacin. From Pilfer.
Pilfer. We've got a pill for everything.
The People's Republic of Fort Collins. We have an ordinance for everything. All right, ADHD Nation. Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic by Alan Schwartz. We are on page 183. The fuck am I at on page 183? What do my notes say? Second full paragraph. All right. Keith Connors conducted some of Eli Lilly's first clinical trials on Stratera? These drug names. This is the fucking goofiest shit in the planet. We're going to call it Stratia, even though that's not actually what it is. And served on its global advisory board, being paid thousands of dollars per lecture. In them, he explained quite reasonably that Stratia was a positive development in ADHD care. Why, it was not a stimulant like Adderall or Concerta, but an altogether different chemical called, hold on, we're going to see if we can say this word, atomoxetine. Hey, I could pronounce that one. It took a minute, but I got it. Atomoxetine, which didn't appear to have the same risk for addiction. When a scientist says, well, this drug doesn't, appear to have the same risk of addiction, what that means is we have no fucking data and we're guessing. This was the good part. Less good was its effectiveness. After one lecture, an audience member raised his hand and asked Connors, quote, how well does it work, unquote. With characteristic scientific dispassion, Connors replied that Stratera hadn't been pitted head-to-head with Adderall or Concerta yet, but early returns suggested that it might be a little less effective than conventional stimulants. Early returns. Is this an election? And how you... I seem to remember some early returns that said Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president. Early returns. Okay. This is not science, guys. This is... And again, you people out there, you've got to get over this weird thing you have about science and how scientists know things. And Bill Nye, the science guy, he's a scientist because he said you should do butt stuff because that's evolution because he's Bill Nye. And his name, Nye, it rhymes with guy, and he's the science guy. And he's on TV, and if it's on TV, it must be true. You people have got to get over this fucking weird religious addiction, belief fucking, just blindly sucking down anything somebody with a lab coat says. Global warming is real. There's a consensus. Later that night, in his hotel room, Connor's phone rang. It was Doug Kelsey, a Lilly executive who had arranged for Connors to speak at the event. Connors recalls Kelsey saying, quote, what were you thinking, Keith? That was way off base. Yeah, base. 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 Take two. After a nice big drink of water. Connors recalls Kelsey saying, quote, "What were you thinking, Keith? That was way off base. You shouldn't have said that," unquote. "What?" Connors replied. Saying Strattera is not as good as the other drugs. "That isn't incorrect," Connors said. "It has a smaller effect size." "If you stray from what we ask you to talk about," Kelsey said, "we won't be able to use your services anymore." Connor stiffened. "I just told what I thought was scientifically the fact." And that, Mr. Connors, was your mistake, because Ruma Connors is the guy who discovered ADHD, created ADHD, diagnosed ADHD, whatever you want to call it. He's the guy who said that ADHD should be found at most in 5% of the population. He's the guy who, when he found out how many people are on ADHD, said, "Oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. There aren't this many people with ADHD." Okay, Connors is trying his very, very best, as far as I can tell from reading all accounts in this book, to be to be as intellectually honest as he can about ADHD and everything else. Right? And remember, so this is the drug company calling him up, telling him what to say, because science. And because remember, the government is protecting us from this sort of thing. This doesn't actually happen because the government is protecting you from the corporations. "Well, I'm sorry, Keith." This is, who's this dickhead's name again? Kelsey. All right. So Connor stiffened. Quote, I just told what I thought was scientifically the fact. Unquote. Quote, "Well, I'm sorry, Keith, but you have to understand we can't allow you to say things offline like that." Unquote. Connor's name was removed from Lilly's consultant list. He would never speak for the company again. This is how the ADHD medication, the diet, get out there. If you don't say the drugs are great, if you say anything that goes off the reservation, well, then the corporations just silence you. Now, he can still talk. The only thing is that the corporation no longer paid him to talk, which, you know, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? For the doctors who didn't attend conferences or watch videos online, Shire sent the show to their mailbox. These installments didn't peddle Adderall XR specifically. The company sold adult ADHD itself, knowing that the prescriptions would follow. In the context of the book, so now we're at the point in the narrative here where the pharmaceutical corporations have more or less managed to tap out doping the kids, because somebody at some of the pharmaceutical corporations was sitting there going, "Wait a minute, why are we only selling our drugs to children? What if we can convince adults that they have ADHD? Why, think about how much more money we could make." And then somebody says, "Well, but we can't really convince adults they have ADHD because all the research has shown that children who have ADHD grow out of it, and the American population is far too intelligent to fall for that. Plus, the government is going to protect people from being exploited by us." And then everybody in the room burst into laughter, and they started selling ADHD medication to adults. A few were more eager to help than Dr. William Dodson, a psychiatrist from Denver. Ah, the People's Republic of Denver. It's a shithole in its own unique way. Who had already assisted with many Shire projects. He was already in the pocket of the corporation. In April 2002, he stood before an audience of 70 doctors at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and Spa in Pasadena, California. Oh, they were roughing it, I see. And delivered a PowerPoint presentation titled ADHD and the New Standards of Care. One slide told doctors to, quote, educate the patient on the lifelong nature of the disorder and the benefits of lifelong treatment, unquote. Despite science then and now showing that as many as 30 to 50% of ADHD kids do not retain symptoms past childhood, and that little was known about the safety or efficacy of long-term stimulant use. But of course, you see, the science doesn't matter. Not the science showing that 30 to 50% of the kids grow out of it, nor the lack of science that tells us anything about what long-term use of these drugs might do to people's bodies or minds. See, none of that matters. What matters is the pharmaceutical corporation making money. But remember, everything the pharmaceutical corporation tells you is true because the government is here to protect you from being exploited. And the pharmaceutical corporations would never lie to you or not tell you what they don't know or not tell you what they do know because, you see, the government is protecting you from the corporations. Oh, aren't we so fortunate to have the government protecting us? I feel so protected right now. Ah, the protection. It's like wearing not one, not two, it's like wearing three condoms. That's how protected I feel whenever I think about the government protecting me and the children's from being exploited by the pharmaceutical corporations. Oh, it's like triple condom protection. In 2004, aiming to build the grown-up ADHD market, Shire commissioned Dodson to author a booklet called Faces of Adult ADHD. It would be distributed to doctors nationwide with a cover that promised to, quote, help clinicians recognize and diagnose adults with ADHD, unquote. Give Dodson credit. He got right down to business. Pause for a drink of water. Almost knocked things over. Perfect. God. Quote, we now know that about 10% of adults have ADHD. Notice we're not quoting any studies or scientific evidence for this, but we now know this. You know why? Because we want to sell more drugs. We now know that about 10% of adults have ADHD, which means you're probably already treating patients with ADHD even though you don't know it. Unquote. The first paragraph ended. That 10% figure was fiction. But wait, maybe there is a consensus. The two studies Dr. Dodson footnoted to back it up, which surely no one ever checked, no one ever does. It's like the terms of agreement when you install your software. Nobody reads that shit. Nobody checks footnotes, except me. I do. Were papers regarding children, not adults. No credible national study before or since has ever estimated an adult prevalence as high as 10%. Dr. Dodson continued, quote, I promise you, the improvement you will see in a properly treated adult ADHD patient and the gratitude that patient will demonstrate will be among your most satisfying clinical experiences, unquote. That's some nice emotional manipulation, right? That's a little bit of like NLP action going on, where you try to tell you, oh, look how wonderful you're going to feel once you've done this, right? Getting these adults on ADHD medication is going to make you feel so good. That's not science. That's not fact. That's not objective. That's not logic. That's feelings. The message to doctors: stimulants would feel as good to you as the patient, who would keep coming back for more. To illustrate, Dr. Dodson described some success stories. Daniel, a scatterbrained underachiever, went to a doctor who, quote, decided that a trial of medication for ADHD could be worthwhile, unquote. Both rejoiced when it, quote, helped him concentrate on his many business activities, unquote. Supposedly, Daniel has since become CEO of a large commercial real estate company. Melissa was no longer overwhelmed as wife and mother thanks to her diagnosis and prescription. And fear not, doctors, amphetamines aren't addictive at all. Just listen to a patient named Scarlett who reassured them, quote, if you give me a drink or a drug, I'll abuse it, but not this medication. I don't consider it a drug. Drugs get abused. Medication helps people have satisfying lives, unquote. Oh my God, Scarlett, she's an expert on addiction. Why? Vagina? It's the current year? I don't know, but it's not a drug. Scarlett said so. It's medication. It's not addictive. This is science. This is what doctors are being told by pharmaceutical corporations. You know, the pharmaceutical corporations that the government is protecting us from? Because, oh my God, without the government, who would build roads? Oh, I feel so much. It's like, dude, I'm putting on a fourth condom. That's how fucking safe I feel. None of this baloney could be touched by the Food and Drug Administration, even though the booklet was funded by Shire, the manufacturer of Adderall. It didn't discuss Adderall itself, and therefore did not officially qualify as product advertising. All it was selling was adult ADHD. In other words, the pharmaceutical corporations found a loophole in all the fucking thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of regulations and laws that are supposed to be protecting us from the evil pharmaceutical corporations. And there's nothing the FDA could do about it. Because, oh my God, there's just nothing we can do. Oh, but the government is protecting us from the corporations. Oh, fucking Christ. I want to just... Have I mentioned my desire to take a dull butter knife and slit the throats of every statist on the planet Earth? I think I've mentioned that. Ah, just this fucking love affair you have with the government and how it's going to protect you. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to put on a fifth condom. That's how protected I feel, knowing that the FDA is out there on the case. The fuck are we at? Page 180. Okay, what is this? But how should a doctor diagnose adult ADHD? Well, the doctor should diagnose adult ADHD based on how much his car payment is, and does the patient have insurance that will cover the full cost of the drugs? Because the doctor, of course, wants to make sure that he gets his full cut. But how should a doctor diagnose adult ADHD when a few of the DSM's official criteria, like, quote, runs about or climbs excessively, and, quote, has difficulty waiting turn, sounded so childish? Could there be a better way? Lily took the lead here, enlisting some Biederman team doctors and a Dr. Leonard Adler, Dr. Leonard Adler, an emerging adult ADHD specialist at New York University. New York University, need we say more, to translate the DSM symptoms into an 18-item checklist for grown-ups. For example, quote, often leaves seat in classroom became, quote, how often do you leave your seat in meetings? This is so, I can't even make fun of this. It's so stupid. But even that, even that became too inefficient for doctors wanting to make the diagnosis. Less than a year later, having decided that, quote, an 18-question screening scale is too long for many purposes, unquote, the team announced a better way to fit ADHD appraisals into doctors' busy schedules, a checklist of only 6 questions. Because yes, you see, the doctor just doesn't have time to ask you 18 questions in attempting to diagnose whether or not he's going to give you medication that hasn't really been tested on humans. No. We wouldn't want to invest the amount of time needed to ask 18 questions. No, we need to get you on those fucking drugs as fast as possible because the CEO of that pharmaceutical corporation needs another fucking swimming pool. You need to get on those fucking drugs and you need to shut your mouth. So you might say, great one. What are these 6 magical questions? Oh. All right, let's see. Friends, let's find out if you have adult ADHD. Here we go. Magic question number 1. How often do you have trouble wrapping up the fine details of a project once the challenging parts have been done? Now, the way you answer this is you check off, are they never, rarely, sometimes, often, or very often? So those are your 5 potential answers. Magic question number 2. How often do you have difficulty getting things in order when you have to do a task that requires organization? Magic question number 3. When you have a task that requires a lot of thought, how often do you avoid or delay getting started? Number 4 magic question. How often do you have problems remembering appointments or obligations? Magic question number 5. How often do you fidget or squirm with your hands or your feet when you have to sit down for a long time? Magic question number 6. How often do you feel overly active and compelled to do things like you were driven by a motor? This driven by a motor phrase just shows up every fucking time. All right. Respondents checked off whether they experienced those problems never, rarely, sometimes, often, or very often. For questions 3, 5, and 6, any often or higher counted as 1 point. Questions 1, 2, and 4 got a point for something as weak as sometimes. 4 points, 4 total points signaled ADHD. So if you occasionally had trouble finishing tasks were disorganized and forgot some appointments, you were three quarters there, and often on anything else put you over the top. The developers of this screening tool, in a traditional stretching back to Keith Conner's first scale in the 1960s, cautioned that doctors shouldn't rely on this sheet alone, that a score of 4 meant only that further investigation is warranted, as they put it. But in the same breath, literally the same paragraph, they wrote that passing their test meant, quote, the patient has symptoms highly consistent with ADHD. They got the quiz endorsed by the World Health Organization, an imprimatur that forever obscured its big pharma roots. Ah, yes, because the World Health Organization is part of the government, and as we all know, the purpose of the government, in addition to giving free stuff to people and building roads, is to protect us from the evil corporations. What would we do without the government protecting us from the corporations? Naturally, Eli Lilly then assembled a veritable all-star team to measure and undoubtedly expand ADHD's adult market. The study was led by the Biederman Group, Russell Barkley, and Lynn Adler, using the streamlined 6-question questionnaire as one of their tools. The researchers determined that 4.4% of American adults, about 10 million, had ADHD. Quote, efforts are needed to increase the detection and treatment of adult ADHD, unquote, the paper concluded. Guess who is ready and waiting? Advertisements cocked and ready. Shire fired first. One was a picture of a wedding day bride and groom in which the bride was airbrushed out, divorced, stamped across it. Another in the series featured a woman's driver's license blocked out by revoked. One ad told doctors, quote, adults with ADHD were 3 times more likely to be unemployed. The consequences may be serious. Screen for ADHD, unquote. Of course, to back up these statements and reassure folks they were grounded in science, the advertisements footnoted the studies by Barkland and Biederman. Studies spawned in the pharma's own boardrooms. But that government is protecting us from false advertising because without the government, who would protect us from the corporations? Oh my God. And guys, just to be clear, I'm okay with the corporations exploiting you. I'm completely fine with this. Stupid people have money so it can be taken away from them. If you're dumb enough to fall for this medicating yourself shit and it kills you, that's just natural selection. That's how the world is supposed to work.